Now, while they were gone, another enemy from the south, the Amalekites, invaded the Philistine country and the place that David had made his home while he was out of the land, which was Ziklag. Now, if you get your map, you'll find out Ziklag is way down in the south, even south of Beersheba. It's down in the Philistine country. And while they were gone from there, the army, why, the Amalekites had invaded. And this is what happened, and we have that now in chapter 30. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, what else had they done? And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Now you can appreciate now the position of David and his men. They have returned back to the city that they'd made their own, and David has with him now, as you know, over 600 followers, each one of them married, each one of them with a wife, each one of them with children. You can imagine that it was quite a place. Now it's been destroyed, been burned with fire. And these men are distraught. They've lost their wives and their children. And as far as they know, they've been slaves. Now, will you notice verse 4? Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. This was a great blow and a sorrow to David. Now, will you notice what had happened? And David's two wives were taken captive. Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. You remember that Abigail was married to this very rich man, and his name Nabal means fool, or I guess that she probably called him stupid. I don't know. That would be a good name for him, but he had had a heart attack and died, and David had taken her to wife. She was the good part of David's life, the only bright spot that I can find in David's life, and actually the only woman that did him good, that was a blessing to him. Now, David was greatly distressed, not only because he lost his loved ones, but for the people spake of stoning him. They blamed David, he was the leader, for leaving Ziklag and going with the Philistines. David, you see, made a blunder. It was a great blunder on his part. Now, we like to think of David, the shepherd boy. David, he's the one that slew Goliath. Then we like to turn over to the black side and look at his great sin that he committed. But we don't realize that David was very much of a human being, like the rest of us, and he blundered a great deal. This was a blunder on his part, and the people are about ready to stone him, his men are, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. To me, that's interesting. They're grieving for their children, but they don't seem to be grieving for their wives. You know why? They think they've been slain. They think probably the children have been kept alive, but that their wives are slain. Now, David is between, as the common colloquialism has it, he's between a rock and a hard place. He's between the devil and the deep blue sea. He's in a bad spot. He's lost his loved ones, his own followers. Now, under this great emotional strain of having lost their loved ones, they want now to stone David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think this is one of the most wonderful statements that is made, and I just hang on to that verse for just a few moments, or this portion of the verse. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Friends, there are times in our lives that the circumstances will not produce any joy or any happiness in our lives. there are times that you and I are in a dark place, like David was. You look about you, and it looks helpless and hopeless. And what are you going to do? Be discouraged? Throw in the sponge? Give up? Say that you're through? My friend, if you're a child of God, you'll encourage yourself in the Lord. Turn to Him at a time like that. And sometimes the Lord puts us in a spot like that so we will turn to Him. And it's in a time like that that He'll make Himself real to us. And it is at a time like this that David wrote some of his Psalms, by the way. It is a time like this that Psalm 23 would be very meaningful. It's at a time like this that you can just thumb your way through the book of Psalms, and you can find many of them where David is encouraging himself in the Lord. The Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And David found that to be true. I think this is a very wonderful portion. Now, we find here in verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now, this was a portion of the great high priest's garments that speaks of prayer. You'll recall that this was a garment that went over the garment that he wore that when he was just like any other priest. This set him aside. And it was the garment he wore when he went into the golden altar of prayer. And he had two stones, one on each shoulder, and he had on that the names of the tribes of Israel, six on one shoulder, six on the other. In other words, he carried them on his shoulder. Now, this is a picture of Christ, our great high priest, who carries us on his shoulder. You remember that little sheep that got lost? What did the shepherd do? He put him on his shoulder and brought him back. And I do not know who you are, where you are, how you are, or why you are, friends, but I do know this, that he today is prepared to come and get you, put you on his shoulder, and he's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him. And so David gets this garment that speaks of prayer, and he goes to God in prayer. At a time like this, the one today, our great high priest up yonder, the one who is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. And he's the one that David is appealing to at a time like this. And now he makes inquiry. He asks of the Lord, he said this, verse 8, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. God now encourages him to go. And that's exactly what he does. And David, verse 10, pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now, you see, when he got back, all the provisions had been taken. And these men are absolutely faint. 200 of them could not make the trip because they had marched double time getting back here, you see. Now, what happens is this, verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men. And what happened? Well, they found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of cake of figs. Now, this fella had taken sick, and he tells David that he was a servant of one of the Amalekite leaders, and that when he got sick, they just left him to die. And now David has overtaken this man. He's yet to overcome the enemy, and he wants to know where they are. And so this Egyptian tells him where the Amalekites have gone. And so he explains what had happened at the burning of Ziklag. Now, the servant says, I tell you on condition that you won't return me to my master. And David says, I can assure you one thing, you're not going to be sent back to your master. Now, what happened is, David made a surprise attack then upon them. And he found them in revelry. They were enjoying the victory and the spoils they had taken. Verse 16, when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And these fellows, they had a little transportation, and they were able to get away. Now David took all the flocks, the herds, which they had taken, and then returned also the wives and the children, the ones they belonged to. Now there was an argument among David's men whether the 200 men should share in the spoil or not. And David puts down a great principle here that reveals his fairness and of his justice, which made him the kind of a man God could use. He said, these 200 men that were sick, that couldn't come with us, they weren't able to make the trip, they're going to share equally in the booty. And I want to say that that revealed justice on the part of David.